Hello, everybody. Thank you for making great choices and listening to Choices. I'm your host, Christine Choi. Please remember to subscribe on iTunes so you never miss an episode, and don't forget to rate and review to get me on your podcast map. You can find Choices on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, Radio Public, and Audioboom. Make sure to email me at choicespodcast@gmail.com with any questions or feedback, as well as letters or voice memos for the advice segment. So today, my special guest is Ashley Jaros. She is calling in from Sacramento, California. Hey, Smash.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me today. We're going to get right to it. Let's talk about when and where and how we first met.
Oh, man.
We met, I think it was like 2011, at a house party.
Oh, God.
I want you to tell the story.
But I don't really remember it. You met Drake that night. You had a great night.
We got introduced to each other by mutual friends. I don't know what the deal was, but you were just saying how you are Drake the whole night.
No, you started calling me Drake because I was dancing like crazy.
Oh, like Drake?
Yeah. I don't know, maybe. I don't know how it came about either. I just remember you calling me Drake.
Wow, I do not remember that much.
Yeah, that was a fun night.
That was a fun night.
I do remember, I forget who it was, like telling me that who else was coming over, and they mentioned you, and I'm like, I don't know if I've ever met her.
And on that fateful day, we met. And I don't know, I guess we hit it off. We became friends.
Yeah.
Literally. There was one time you gave me a ride home. Yep. And I think we chatted, and the rest is history, y'all.
Yeah.
Gosh, yeah. I guess we have a not so exact story of how we met, just because, yeah, we were party friends.
Yeah.
What was your first impression of me?
I mean, that you were fun. Like, I didn't really have like a first like
moment.
Yeah. I was like, she's fun. And then I was like, oh, wow, she's really got her shit together, because, you know, you had like a good job and you were like a workaholic.
Yeah, I was a workaholic. And soon after that, my life kind of became a mess for a little while, but I got it back together. My first impression of you was just that you were fucking out there and hilarious. Yeah. Okay, well, let's share a memorable moment in each other's lives.
Memorable moment?
Yeah.
Oh. We had so many. Let's see. It was fun when you came to Sacramento, when we kind of met in Sacramento. That was fun.
Oh, and I can't believe you didn't claim this one, because I just sent you some recent reminders. We had gone to a friend's house, so we had partied all night, and it was morning, and we were walking back to my house, and we were with another friend of ours, and Ashley and our other friend just kept planking everywhere. And I have photos to prove it. They are planking on top of somebody's car. Ashley did like a tree plank, which wasn't really a plank, but she literally climbed up a tree.
It was a koala.
Yeah, that was a koala. Oh, and she planked in a bush. The both of them planked on top of each other, which made the best double plank ever.
And you caught that on camera. That was a great.
Yes, yes, yes. And Facebook thankfully reminds me every single year of that day.
That was so much fun.
That was so much fun.
That's a good one. I totally forgot about that.
Okay, your turn.
That was it.
No.
Yeah, one of the most memorable moments was before I moved to Sacramento, when we spent time in Sacramento exploring the town on our own, was when you came and visited me for my graduation weekend. To help me celebrate, even though I had no plans whatsoever, because I was so wrapped up in finishing my, you know, projects. But that really meant a lot.
Aww.
It really did. It was so much fun. I remember we went to Shady Lady.
Love that place. Honestly, before visiting Ashley in Sacramento, I had one idea about Sacramento, and I think so many people do. And then you actually go out there. Downtown Sacramento is so awesome. Okay, let's move on to the games. This next game is called What Would You Do, aka WWYD. How this game goes is I'm going to basically present you with this scenario, and you're going to answer what you would do.
Okay.
You've been dating this guy for about a month. The two of you plan a date to go grocery shopping and cook at home. When at the grocery store, he was tasting everything and opening and eating out of things before paying. What would you do?
Run.
But you guys have been dating for a whole month already and you like him. I mean, you guys were about to go home and cook together.
Yeah, that's weird. That's like only a month. It's not a long time.
But you like him. You wouldn't like ask him about it or kind of confront him about it. You'd just be like, this isn't going to work out. Bye.
Yeah. Okay. Clearly, I didn't know him that well.
In the middle of grocery shopping, would you just be like, okay, I'm going to go.
I would say I have to use the restroom and I would never come back.
Oh my God. Oh, that would be really funny. Okay. Well, that's pretty clear cut answer there, Ash. We're going to move on to the next game. This game is called 10-2. We are both going to come up with 5 random words. And then out of those 10 words, we're each going to come up with a story. And this story, first of all, doesn't have to contain all 10 words. And it doesn't even necessarily have to have exact wording of those words as long as it was inspired by those words. Give me 5 words, please.
Okay. Fabulous. Pillow. Sprinkles. Taco. Hard.
Okay. My first word is bitch. Next word is going to be moist.
Oh, I hate that word.
Beer cap. Let's just go with record player.
That's 2 words.
It's fuck you.
I think beer cap is 2.
You know what? You know what I'm saying. Gosh. Oil.
Okay. So we're going with record player as 1 word.
We'll go with gramophone. Okay. Gramophone and then beer cap. I'll do bottle cap because bottle cap's 1 word, right? Nope, it's not. It's 2 words. Let's do salami. Wow. Okay. Fabulous, pillow, sprinkles, taco, hard, bitch, moist, salami, gramophone, and oil. Okay. It's good. 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 Last time I did this, it didn't have to be something that's happened in your life, but it can be kind of just like, make up a story that somewhat is realistic.
You're right.
Go ahead, girl, go ahead. Don't overthink it.
I can't help myself.
I know, you are an overthinker. Oh my God, you're going to come up with like a super elaborate, real story now.
I'm just really craving a salami taco with sprinkles on top.
Ew. Soft shell or hard shell?
Oh, I like that bitch moist.
That sounds fucking fabulous.
Oh, this is hard.
Don't you think that salami would be a little too oily? Did we just come up with a joint story?
Not as oily as my pillow.
Ew. Oh. That's gross. Yeah, the gramophone is totally out of the place, I guess. Wow. Okay. Well, that was fantastic. That was fabulous, actually. Loved it. That's it. The end. You ready for your interview?
I guess.
All right. Sounds super enthusiastic. I love it. Okay, so let's start with just your childhood, growing up, your family.
I grew up in Redding, California. I'm the oldest of 4. My parents divorced when I was 4. My mom remarried when I was 8.
How's your relationship with your siblings?
Great. I mean, my sister and I, the one that's a year younger than me, she and I both have the same dad. And then the others, you know, are the children of my stepdad. So they're much younger, like 9 and 11 years younger. So I was more of like a mother figure in their lives. My sister and I that I'm a year apart from, we would, you know, typical sister stuff in high school, arguing over clothes and stuff.
What about the relationship with your younger siblings?
I would always hang out with them. I remember in high school, my mom would tell me, like, you need to go out and hang out with friends, because I was spending a lot of time at home all the time. And I would love to, like, hang out with my, you know, little brother and sister. Like, they were, like, babies, you know, toddlers. And even when they were, like, you know, 4 and 5, like, and I would do fun things with them, you know. I remember, like, I would sing and play my guitar for them before bed. Aww. And they always remember that, too. Yeah. Then I went away to San Diego when I was 18. So then, you know, it's hard to keep touch. Like, they grow so much.
Yeah.
Throughout those years, you know. Right. So, I mean, I wasn't there for a lot of the time after that, you know. I'd come back to visit maybe once or twice a year. Yeah. And my other sister, she stayed pretty close with them because she didn't go away for school, you know.
How was your relationship with your parents growing up?
Growing up, I guess, well, there was a certain time when my mom and I butted heads. And my dad was always kind of, he ended up moving away to, like, Eureka up north. And so we would, you know, visit him, and he would, like, take us shopping and we'd do fun things. Then he moved to, like, the Bay Area, and we would, like, you know, go to the city and stuff like that. So he wasn't ever really, like, the father figure that a lot of my friends had, you know. And I guess I kind of wanted that, but because my stepdad, you know, my mom kind of took on the role of being my father. She told my stepdad, you know, to kind of, like, stand back as far as, like, you know,
really
getting involved with any, like, disciplinary stuff. Like, she wanted to be the bad guy, I guess.
Oh, what's that? Do you think that was so he, as a newcomer kind of in you guys' lives, that he was not viewed as the mean guy? Do you think she was taking on that role for that?
Maybe she just didn't want him to have that burden, like, or he needed to do that. Like, I don't know. He is such a nice guy. I just can't see him ever, like, disciplining me, though.
Yeah.
He would always help me, like, in basketball practice softball. Like, he was always there.
So your mom and your stepdad were very present during your childhood.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there was a struggle because I was the oldest, and I kind of didn't want to be a burden. Mm-hmm. So I would try and just be a good kid, just stay out of everybody's way. Cause my mom was busy with the two younger ones most of the time. And my sister was doing her own thing, but yeah, they were there.
That's good. What about your life in school with friends and school experience?
Oh gosh. I was very shy. Very shy. I remember this girl in high school. She was kind of like out there. But no, she had told me, she's like, wow. Because we all hung out together one day outside of school. And I was being really goofy. Mm-hmm. And I typically was not. I wasn't really social, like, you know, talked to a bunch of people and was friends with a bunch of people. But I kind of, like, let myself be goofy this one time. And she's like, wow, I really enjoy being around you. She's like, I used to think that you had no personality. And I used to call you no personality girl. I'm like, what?
Wow.
I thought that was hilarious because I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess around people I don't know very well, I keep quiet, right? Yeah. And so.
Interesting. Yeah.
But that's how I was, like, always pretty quiet.
Wait, how old were you then?
I don't know. I think I was 15, 16.
Okay.
I remember a lot of my friends would be like, oh, you're so shy, like, in grade school. And then I was like, well, now I can't speak up because people are going to be like, wow, she spoke. It's such a huge ordeal.
Did you have, though, like, a good group of friends that were supportive?
Yeah. I was friends with a lot of different people, mm-hmm. but I did have a good couple of close friends. I mean, it's weird. I never had, like, that, like, oh, she's my best friend. Like, there's a lot of, like, mm-hmm. girls that were like that, like, click. Yeah. Like, I wasn't a part of
that
or anything. I was friends with a ton of different people. Yeah. I was so ready to get out of high school. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so you're out of high school and you go to San Diego?
Yeah.
That's when you went to college. Tell me about that.
Oh, San Diego. That was a new experience. My mom, I remember, was upset that I was moving.
Oh, she was.
Well, she thought I was doing it to move away from her.
Right.
But yeah, so that was nice. I mean, I didn't really get the full experience. I was there for, like, 2 years. I didn't have a car.
Yeah.
Up until the end of my time there. Took the bus to work my job at the mall.
Yeah.
And then I met a guy online.
Oh, okay.
This was like before Facebook. We ended up dating, and then he lived in like San Bernardino area. So we would like, you know, take turns visiting. And then I decided like I wasn't happy mm-hmm. in San Diego, you know, with a long distance relationship, like, because I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
Besides like, you know, being like, oh, I wish I could visit him, you know. So yeah. I ended up moving.
Where are you at school at this point?
Well, I transferred to Cal Poly Pomona.
Okay. For the guy?
I think it was for me also in a way. I wouldn't say it was for him. Like, he didn't ask me to. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, like, I wasn't happy where I was at. And I was like, I can just transfer schools and we'll see if things are better, I guess, in general.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't doing anything in San Diego, you know, like, I had nothing there holding me there besides school.
And then what happened to that relationship?
Yeah, it slowly fell apart. We took a break. Well, he was a really, really good guy. I just, like, I think it was not a good time. I feel like I was unreasonable in things that I expected him to do.
Mm-hmm. So where do you go from there? You move to the Bay Area. Let's talk about school aspect first. Where do you go?
I didn't know much about the Bay Area. For whatever reason, I couldn't get enrolled as a student, you know, but you can pay extra per unit. San Francisco State, I had applied to, got in, but I wanted to take classes before I could actually start as a...
Yeah, enrolled student.
I did that first.
Yeah.
But yeah, the guy I started dating lived in SAC and ended up moving to the Bay Area. Then I lived in, Dublin with him. And then I ended up transferring to San Jose State because the commute from like Dublin to San Francisco was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, because we had also moved to San Jose then.
And when was that? I mean, I feel like San Jose kind of was like a huge chapter in your life, right?
I was there the longest out of any of the places I had been since, you know, my hometown.
Yeah. When was that?
I want to say 2006.
And what happened? Yeah. And what happened from then? Like school, relationship, job?
School, I had to quit. I was going through a rough time.
What was going on?
I feel like I was just having a hard time with life in general. I was going, like, I was seeing a therapist for, like, anxiety, depression, eating disorder, which was all actually related to ADHD, which I find out later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dealing with that, and then school, and then work, and then not feeling good enough for the dude I was dating. It kind of just, I don't know. I think it was like more of a self-sabotage thing and how I ended the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 2008, I left San Jose State just to kind of like not be so stressed out. I was dealing with a lot of life events, you know, just trying to get my shit together.
So at this point, are you basically just working so you can survive?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't pursuing anything. Working for a paycheck.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're basically just trying to survive. Okay. And what was your, at this point, what was your kind of mindset on going back to school?
God, I put on such a long hold. Like, I mean, I always, like, wanted to. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll just take a break. But, I mean, it ended up, you know, then after our breakup and then, like, to find my own place to live. And then my job at the time that was full-time ended up cutting my hours a ton. So then I was, like, having to find another job, which I got, like, that was an office job. So I ended up finding a job as a waitress.
So at this point, how was your relationship with, I mean, kind of like the support system through your family? Because I know, I mean, like you left home and then you've kind of bounced around a lot. And that couldn't have been easy for your family and you, obviously.
I feel like I would forget sometimes I had a family.
Oh.
Because, I mean, I guess when I was with, you know, the guy that I was with in San Jose,
mm-hmm.
his family was from Reading as well. So when we would visit, you know, we would visit his family and my family or like, you know, them together or whatever. So, but after that, like I've always like felt, I never wanted to be a burden. So I've never like relied on them for anything. So I'll often like forget that they're there. Yeah. I guess we didn't have that sort of relationship. I feel like my younger brother and sister do with my parents, like my mom and my stepdad, but I never I didn't have that relationship where I could reach out to them.
Yeah. Okay, so now you're in San Jose and you're just basically working to survive at this point. What do you think was kind of like the hardships that maybe kind of, I mean, beyond where you're at already, kind of just like the moments over the years that kind of happened that got you to like where you needed, where you knew that you needed to make a change or, you know, like something wasn't working right at this point? Because every single day, I mean, I don't want to put any words in your mouth at this point, but I mean, because I've had this where I would look at my life and be like, oh, there's no progression. I mean, for me, my rock bottom was such a clear cut, like, oh shit, there's your rock bottom. Something happened or you did something and you completely fucked over your life. So fix it. So that was kind of what happened mm-hmm. to me. But for some other people, I feel like it's kind of just like you kind of look around at your life and you're like, oh shit, I'm not progressing at this point. I need to figure something out. So what was your experience in one or the other that kind of got you out of something, some hardships?
I feel like I had so many rock bottom moments, you know, where you're like, oh, this is rock bottom. And then mm-hmm. you're like, never mind. Like, this is rock bottom, like, later on.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot of moments I'm not proud of.
Right.
I don't know if I ever had that realization where I realized like, oh, I'm not progressing, or, you know, I need to make a change, you know, like maybe like I knew that, but it wasn't like a clear thing in my head. I just kind of got used to it, I think, like mm-hmm. hitting rock bottom. And then I think also I was around people that kind of were maybe going through similar things. Mm-hmm. So we were like in it together.
And do you think in that sense, you guys were kind of making it okay for each other to be in a dark place?
Yeah. Like yeah. enabling.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have a lot of moments that were wake up calls in a way, but I appreciate all of them because like I've learned from them and it's helped me grow. Well, the change I did make came way later once I, you know, moved back to Reading, and I was not in a good place there.
Yeah.
I felt like helpless.
What do you think caused your like not doing well? Was it like relationship induced? Was it substance induced? Was it, because there's something that I'm noticing in life is like it's either human relationships or substance, or I mean, of course, serious and bad luck, there's that too. But there's something that happens in your life that just kind of like gets you in that downward spiral. And I mean, I guess the explanation of like the people around you were kind of going through the same thing and it made everything okay, only made it worse and worse. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was a period of time in your life that I've seen where I was just like, damn, like she's got to do something, right? But I didn't necessarily know what that was, like where that was coming from for you.
It's something hard to pinpoint, like,
yeah,
how it all started, maybe.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I would like think about it, you know, and theorize about how like my downward spiral might have happened.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a lot. I mean, my parents had said like I should, because I was like, I think I should have gone to therapy after the abusive relationship. And they said it should have been after, like before that one, so I didn't get into that relationship.
Yeah. So your parents thought you should have gone to the therapy even prior to that, because that probably led to...
I think so. I think that was like, I think I didn't realize how tough it was, mm-hmm. like how much it affected me. Like my breakup in San Jose, you know, like, or with the guy that I was...
The guy you moved out here with?
Yeah, the guy I moved out here with. Thank you.
And just to clarify, how long were you with that guy?
I think 2.5 years.
Okay. And then the next guy? I don't think we actually talked about this. I just know Ashley a little bit, people, so give me a break. So the other guy that you dated for a while after you moved here, how long were you with him?
Yeah, maybe a year and a half.
So you're obviously a very relationship person.
I don't even see myself that way.
But you have been in a relationship your whole life.
No, I had a long break.
I'm sorry. I've been single 31 years, so I don't really know what to say.
I know, that's true. So it's a few years of like my single time in my 20s, you know. I don't know. It's funny because I don't like to necessarily look for a relationship, and I'm not...
Yeah. But you're comfortable in them.
Typically,
you find comfort in it, right?
Yeah.
Because for me, it's like the scariest thing in the world. I'm just like, nope, out, you know? So I think that's the biggest difference between people that are in relationships a lot as opposed to people who are not. I think it's not so much, well, I think it's both, right? There's people who do it out of dependency.
Yeah.
And there's people that do it out of just like comfort. And I think you fall more towards the comfort thing.
I don't know.
I
tend to meet people that like, I feel like I can help.
Yep. Dr. Savaho. That's like my middle name.
I want to.
Okay. Let's circle back. As you said, you don't remember really quite having a feeling of looking around and seeing that you weren't progressing. Sure. But at some point you had to have a sense of that, right? Like you had a point where you realized that something had to change and you had to do something.
I think I had a lot of those moments to where I did know. I didn't feel like I was able to do anything about it.
So when did it actually happen? What caused you to actually say, oh, okay, finally I should do something about this?
It wasn't really doing something about anything, but it was just like, what do I want to do? I want to finish school. I'm sick of working this shitty job in like, you know, the paid like minimum wage in Reading. So I just applied to back to school.
I kind of want to talk about your leaving San Jose.
Okay.
Because I think you moving out of San Jose was such a huge part of your personal growth.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
And I kind of want to talk about what caused you to come to that conclusion.
Okay. Yeah. That, I mean, I guess that was a big turning point. And like, as far as making that decision, I don't think that there was really any other decision to be made.
Because you were basically moving from friend's house to friend's house at that point a little bit, right?
Yeah.
You were still having, like, restaurant jobs where you're making enough money to survive, sure, but...
But not at that time.
Oh, okay.
Not at that time, and I hadn't paid my rent, and I, you know, told the landlords, oh, I was trying to get a job, but it was so hard to get around with the car. It's just kind of like, I felt hopeless.
Oh, because you didn't have a car.
Yeah.
So let's rewind a little bit. When you first moved out here and broke up with your boyfriend, did you have a car then?
Yes, yeah.
And then you dated this other guy and you guys broke up, did you have a car then?
Well, that wasn't back to back.
Well, I guess my point kind of is just trying to get to a point where your life became just more and more difficult because like being in the Bay Area without a car is such a fucking handicap.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't live in San Francisco or, you know, work and live right by the Caltrain station, you need a car or like a huge bank account where you can Uber everywhere.
Yeah, I don't even think Uber was around.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. Uber wasn't around. So I know you got into kind of a tougher place in your life while you were living in San Jose. What do you think were kind of digression, I guess, of how it all happened and like what you had less and less of as time went on?
Well, I started meeting people and going out just a little bit at first, but like I ended up driving someone home after the bar one time. It was raining, and on the way there, it's not funny, but I crashed offside the road into one of those tall street signs that came over my car and like totally dented the top of the car, my little red Honda, and smashed the back window. Yeah, I scared this guy off. that was probably...
Oh my God.
I was crying, calling my parents, and it was like, you know, like 2 a.m.
Oh shit.
And yes, I mean, clearly I couldn't do anything. I ended up, you know, just driving it with a broken window back to this guy's house that I was dating. His buddy ended up kind of like cleaning it up, all the glass up, and then knocking, unbending. I don't know. Because the dent in the top of the car, like doing that. But for a while, I had to drive with like a big trash bag on the back of my car.
Yeah.
Because it was basically totaled. I had it looked at and they're like, it's totaled. So luckily, my granny took me and got another car. I drove to Yuba City and she ended up going with me to SAC to pick out a car.
Yeah. What happened to that car?
I basically ended up wrecking that one and not being able to fix it. Like, I just didn't have the money.
So at this point, where are you in I guess, life in general. Let's, you know, let's fast forward to you breaking up with this current guy that you were with at that point, because you do. And it was a pretty tough breakup, right?
It was a messy, it was.
And you were living with him at that point?
Oh, yeah. He was living with me and my roommate for free for quite some time, and then together for like 2 months.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. And then you guys broke up. And then what direction does your life go in after that?
I think I was just trying to make, you know, figure out where I was going to stay, how I'm going to get to work, because I didn't have a car, because I was using his car. Girl I worked with, sweetest person ever, immediately took me in. She's like, you can stay with me. I worked with, you know, at the restaurant I was working at. She heard about everything, because I think everybody saw like how I had become, like, just kind of like sad. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And in a bad place throughout the entire relationship.
Yeah.
She offered for me to stay with her in Mountain View at her cousin's place. So she would take me to work, you know.
Yeah.
And then another girl I worked with, is a sweetheart, loaned me her car that she didn't use. It was like her old car. And she had, you know, another friend had used it.
Yeah.
Before me, and so that's how I would get around to work. So yeah, eventually I couldn't use that car anymore.
I guess I just kind of want to get into like your experience or your feelings on like the difficulties that you had as shit got worse, because shit got worse from then. Things got worse for you.
Yeah, I mean, I know it was,
and it sucks.
I don't know, I feel it's weird, because like I didn't necessarily feel terrible. I didn't feel how terrible things were for me at the time, because I was always worried about survival and like maybe, you know, like how I'm, you know, how I'm going to eat, or like, you know, how I'm going to get around, or how am I going to do this? And so I was always focusing like maybe on like what's next. But yeah, like maybe that's why I can't really recall a lot of like specifics, like right off the bat, is because I never really took the time to like feel how I was feeling when I was going through that.
Nobody reflects on what's happening at that moment. Nobody knows. And a lot of times people don't look back to see what happened, you know? So I think that's really important. Okay. Can we talk about what caused you to move back to Reading?
Yes. I had to move back to Reading, back with my parents. They came and helped me move because I was not able to get a job in order to pay my rent, you know, living with one roommate. And yeah, I called them up, and then they had, you know, came the next day to basically give away all my stuff to people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like left everything in San, like my bed, you know, like everything, because I couldn't take everything. Yeah. And I even forgot about stuff that was in there. Like I was just packing what I was such a mess. And I was just like, I really don't care about anything at this, you know, I think that's like where my head was at for a while.
Okay. So, and then from there, once you moved to Reading, what was the process like? Like, how do you think you, fared in the beginning?
Ugh, hate Reading. I do not like Reading at all. I don't know anybody there, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not like all my friends that I, you know, all the people I knew growing up moved away for the most part.
Yeah.
I had to, you know, find a job, and I ended up finally doing that, slanging phones. But yeah, I'm not a good salesperson.
I feel like you can be, but that's okay. That's besides the point.
I can be.
I think you care too much to be a salesperson.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. And then from then what?
Oh man, I had a rough time there. Mostly not having a car in Reading, which is even worse than San Jose.
Way worse.
So, but I ended up managing. Really, I wasn't happy there at all. I wasn't happy and not moving forward. I knew I deserved better than just working that job, you know, like, and living and running with my parents. And I had just, it was like a Halloween I had spent in, I was living at a friend's at this point in Reading. And I spent the entire night applying to, you know, like I applied to San Jose State, and Sac State, and maybe Chico State. I can't remember. yeah, I ended up finding out that I got into Sac State and was thrilled because I could finally get out of Reading.
At this point, what was your academic standing?
What do you mean?
Like, for you to be applying for all these places where you've already gone to San Jose State, Panoma State, and, like, San Diego State, where was your academic standing? You already had so many credits.
Yeah, I mean, I had like 120 units because I had transferred so much and had to take those upper division GE classes at every single place. I mean, if I were to have stuck with San Jose State at the time I only had and finished out that semester, I would have only had like a semester or two left.
So you got accepted into Sacramento State.
Yep, end up going there. I end up moving in with my granny who lives in Yuba City. For my first semester at Sac State. So it worked out. Like, I was able to take the commuter bus from Yuba City. I was also with my dad, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And because he kind of helped me out towards the end of my leaving Reading.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I would commute twice a week to Sacramento via bus. Then finally, you know, after the first semester, I wanted to be in Sacramento. So I ended up moving Sacramento, Midtown, where you don't need a car.
And it's amazing. I love that city.
It was the first time like I felt like I didn't want a car and I didn't feel held back by not having a car, which was an awesome feeling.
Yeah. So you got into school, you're living in Sacramento. How was that experience for you? And how do you think that did you a service or disservice?
I got super wrapped up in school because I didn't want to lose focus, like, of my goal. I did make some, you know, conscious choices because oftentimes, like, in the past, I let relationships kind of take over. And when I ended my term at San Jose State, it was because, you know, I was dealing with, like, relationship issues, you know, which affected my life and all that and my schoolwork. And I also tend to want to hang out with that person rather than like do my schoolwork here. I feel the need to like be there for them, you know, so they don't feel like I'm like, you know, ignoring them or whatnot. So knowing that about myself, I kind of made that conscious like decision. I'm not like going to be in a relationship. I'm going to, you know, like do this whole school thing and just focus on school, not focus on like making friends really or anything like that.
Okay. So since you've kind of found yourself in Sacramento, and now you've graduated and you're at a stable job. How do you feel?
Feels good. Like I often, you know, I think about like this has like definitely made me think about like the past and where I was then and kind of how much I've changed throughout the whole process of even just going back to school and finishing my degree. But like, you know, it's like more so as like a self-discipline, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it feels good. I mean, it's not like, was it you that asked me like after I graduated, like, or it was a lot of people that said like, oh, how does it feel? Like, do you feel like relieved or feel good? I'm like, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I was so stressed trying to find a job like during graduation and after. So like I hadn't really had that break.
Before we move on, I really kind of wanted to circle back to your comment earlier about your ADHD and the other issues that you had that related to that with your depression and your anxiety and your eating disorder. Can we talk about that for a moment?
Sure.
So what were your experiences with that? I don't remember actually what age you were going through that, but can you just a little bit tap into that?
Well, I was hospitalized for anorexia in high school. I was 16, which was kind of a shock. Like, I was not somebody that was supposed to really get that disorder. I was really into basketball, and I think it was like a control. I went through all the therapy, so I realized it was like I had held so much inside, and it was like also a way to control something. But it started then, and after I was hospitalized, like, I struggled with bulimia from time to time after that.
How did you come out of that?
That was like an ongoing thing that I tried to get help for. It was just so, so tough because like nothing helped. You know, I saw like a nutritionist, therapist, like throughout the years. But I knew, like, I remember first discovering, like, when I read something about ADHD, I'm like, this is exactly, my problem wasn't the anxiety because I was on anxiety meds. I'm like, that's not helping me. And it was kind of like just a ton of thoughts that I couldn't like do anything with, and I felt like I wasn't able to move forward in life, like, you know, or do anything. Basically, when I found out that I, you know, and I got diagnosed with ADHD, my dad's ADHD, and he knew I was too. Like, he's like, you definitely have it.
Yeah.
And I got on Adderall. It completely helped with everything.
And I witnessed that. I mean, I totally saw the difference.
And that was during school, and being able to finish school, it helped with that. And it helped with, and it helped me, you know, with my eating disorder. It's like not there anymore.
How long were you going through all that? And in general, just like self-image issues?
I would say, well, I dealt with it all the way up until I got on Adderall, which was...
Yeah, that's recent. What,
2 years ago?
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, there were times where it was like, you know, worse or better. It was a big ordeal, and like a big feat, I guess, to overcome.
Cool. I mean, not cool, but like great. Yeah, maybe not cool is not cool. The best word to go after that. Well, great. Yeah, no, thanks for sharing that with us, because I think it is a lot of times people kind of just talk about like situations and how you deal with that situation specifically, but never really talk about other things that attribute to those situations, kind of like mental health and whatever. So I think it's important that you've talked about therapy a couple of times in this conversation, and you talk about your issue with ADHD and having caused different things in your life. And I think it's important for people to hear it's a real thing. I grew up in an Asian background where things like that literally is just mumbo jumbo. Like, anything mental is fake. So while growing up in that, I have always kind of taken solace in hearing about things like this, where people say, hey, I had issues with this, and I went to go see a therapist, and they told me this about myself, and it helped me because I learned that I was this, you know? And so I'm just hoping that this conversation gets to somebody. Yeah. And
well, even if you just go online and read about the way that it shows up in girls or women,
yeah,
versus boys, which was they typically was the hyperactive part they saw in boys, right? At a young age, it shows up a lot differently for girls, much differently. And so I connected with this article I had read, and many articles afterwards, but I know my mom, like, I showed it to my mom at the time, and she's like, oh, whatever. She's like, I don't believe in that, you know, same thing.
I'm with you there, yep.
Yeah.
But
my dad was, like, on my side, because, you know, he deals with that.
Right.
But I had shared a Facebook post maybe, like, a few years ago about, you know, ADHD in women, and one of my cousins, his now wife, she thanked me, like, because she, for posting that article, because she had read it and it changed her life, because she had been struggling with like anxiety and depression, you know, and trying different drugs, like, which I tried a lot of, nothing helped. And she was like, oh, I remember her going through this too. They've been together for years. And she's like, now I'm on, you know, she's like, I was diagnosed with ADHD. Like, that's what prompted me to go seek help for that, you know, say, I think I have this, you know, 'cause she related so much to it. And, she's been like, she's like, I'm a completely different person. Like, I can actually like function in this world. Yeah. And like, it's helped her so much. And I was like, that was good to hear, you know, like that I actually like, just by posting that, like, was able to help someone out, I guess.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So at this moment, how do you feel mentally, physically, and spiritually?
I don't know. I feel like physically, I've been doing Pilates, so I'm trying to feel stronger.
Okay.
Well, not very often, so don't. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm a never-ending project. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always, like, trying to better myself.
Yeah.
Or so I'm never, like, really, like, oh, I'm in a great place. Like, or I feel, you know, I feel at the moment, like, I've been learning a lot about myself through the cognitive function stuff and the MBTI type indicator.
Yeah, you have.
I've really, it's really helped me understand myself.
Yeah.
Which has been great. And especially being able to meet with other people that are like me in it's like almost like this high when we start talking. We're like, oh my God, that's so me. Like, you know, it's crazy. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's been really good for me as far as like the mental aspect of it, or spiritual almost in a way.
Yeah, no, that's great. What do you think is the biggest growth within yourself you've had since when you were in your early 20s to now?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. I mean, clearly I have grown.
Yes,
I don't know how
absolutely.
To really like articulate it, but I think it's just overall, like everything that I've been through and all of my rock bottom moments and such, or just moments of learning in general. Like I've like slowly discovering my strengths and weaknesses, which helps me grow, I guess, you know, even more.
But like if you were to pick out one thing from your 20s that you didn't know then that you know now, what would it be?
Like I was forced to ask for help, you know, like I think I've been better at that, and also better at like kind of, I'm still bad at it, but like setting boundaries for myself. I used to be just like do whatever anybody wanted to do, and kind of it would just in a way I would overwhelm myself with doing things for other people, I guess, and kind of being able to like say like
yeah,
draw a line to like where like okay, that's enough. I'm constantly still like trying to work on because I still struggle with it, but definitely a lot better than I was in my 20s.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so we're moving on to Ask Choi, the advice column segment, where we get a letter from the listeners and we are just going to discuss it. Please remember that we are not professionals. We are not giving you hard advice that you're supposed to follow. It's just giving you a perspective of two other people and maybe you can get something out of it. So for you, listener, don't forget to send your letters in to choicesaspodcast@gmail.com. And that can be in a letter form as well as a voice memo form. Okay, so here is this week's letter. Dear Christine, my husband and I have been married for 15 years. We have two beautiful children who are 11 and 14. He recently came clean to me about an affair that he had 9 years ago. I love our family and him, but can't help but feel our relationship has developed on a lie. What do you think I should do?
Well, I feel like she should be talking to him about it to kind of gain more insight as to like what went on, what actually happened to determine whether or not her relationship was built on a lie, either confirm or deny that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, obviously, I think number one, you have to talk to your husband about it.
Yeah.
But I think also it's important to clear that, first of all, that it was a one-time thing and it was just maybe he was just mentally not there. And are you willing to forgive somebody for that or not? Because I know plenty of people who have stuck with their boyfriends or fiance or husband or whatever who cheated on them. And I look at them now and they are actually doing really, really well. And it's still, I'm still left here dumbfounded because when I found those things out, I was like, oh, that guy's trash, just complete trash. You leave him right away. Mm-hmm. But I think there is a point where if you're willing to forgive somebody, that it can get better. Again, me personally, I would have a hard time forgiving something like that. But I can't say that's completely out of the question because of the relationships that I've seen that still worked out after infidelity.
Yeah. And I think it depends on how long ago it was. I mean, clearly I would be upset not knowing right away that happened. It is something that it does take a lot of work. It can happen. I've seen, you know, I have friends that, you know, now have like they're just amazing together. But I remember her telling me one time, you know, he came clean like about, I guess, when they were dating, you know, like, you know, cheating on her like one time and was very honest and they worked through it, you know. And I think that brings a couple together to be able to do that. If you're both like all in and willing to like work on your relationship and grow together.
Yeah.
But I mean, it takes both people to do that, you know?
Yeah. And I guess it's like it being 9 years ago, it softens the punch in the sense, but it also is kind of like it softens the punch, but with the punch comes a knife in the back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, how is this just now coming out?
Yeah, because it's like when it happened and you say it, it's like literally you're just stabbing them in the front. But when you wait 9 years and come clean, it's kind of like, okay, well, maybe the shock isn't as big as if it were to be happening at that moment. But it's like 9 years you had the secret.
How do you hold on to something like that for 9 years?
Yeah, yeah. And that's hard. And of course, I mean, again, with the kids being 5 and 2, I think that's kind of like, I don't want to say a good time, but like a decently logical time for men to kind of start having wandering eyes, because their wives are so consumed with raising their kids and there's so much stress in the relationship from raising children.
The father should also be fully concerned with raising their own children, yeah. Too.
No, right. That's true. Sorry. Super sexist over here.
Well, especially, you know, in the beginning when the baby's so young.
Yeah, exactly. 5 and 2. And then so, you know, that stress does carry on to marriage. I don't know if we actually give any advice per se, but...
Yeah, go see a therapist with your husband.
Hey, that is actually the best advice, because it is, again, if it's happening at the moment, maybe it'll... It's harder to kind of look at it logically with a therapist, but especially it being so long ago, it might be easier to kind of put it in perspective and look at it and see where you can go from there, because you've had 9 years of amazing life together since.
Yeah.
Good. Perfect. Great, great answer. And I think that was a really good, important discussion too. So, cool. All right, so we're going to go on to a couple of closing questions. Currently, what brings you the most joy?
Honestly, you bring me the most joy, Christine. talking with my friends, to be honest. I don't do it enough, and I kind of get stuck in this in my own head. Mm-hmm. It's something I sometimes need to be forced into doing, but I really enjoy it. And I don't have my friends around, and that's like when I do get time with them and able to like actually have conversations. Yeah. But yeah, it's being connected to my friends, I guess.
Yeah. I love that. To somebody that's out there that's going through something that you've gone through in your past, rather it be about your family or kind of just like being on your own in a difficult situation in a city where you had no family around, what would you say to them? And where would you recommend them kind of start the healing process or kind of the process of bettering themselves?
I don't know. I feel like you just kind of learn as you go, right? I don't think there's like a one-size-fits-all sort of advice that works for anything that happens in life. Life's a journey.
Hang in there.
I feel like, you know, like... especially for me, like asking for help or not being afraid to ask for help or know that there are other people out there struggling,
yeah,
with the same thing.
Huge.
Even though you might feel alone, which I often did, you know. Yeah. I remember, just to talk about the, like being hospitalized for anorexia at Stanford. In Reading, there were no other girls. Like, it had never really been heard of, you know, mm-hmm. anorexia. So nobody really knew how to treat it, and I didn't know anybody else that was going through it. So being hospitalized was such a great thing, because it was like a group, you know, of girls.
That understood.
And I made some great friends, and it was like, wow, we're not alone. We all felt the same way, you know, like we were all going through the same thing. And that was very helpful.
Good. Yeah. So just, you're not alone. You're never alone. There's always somebody going through something alongside you. I think that's, and I think that's like such a big part of what I'm trying to convey with this podcast, mm-hmm. where I'm just really trying to reach out to people who might be going through things and realize that they're not alone in their journey, you know, because shit, life sucks.
Yeah.
Life is amazing. It's and life tough. Is beautiful, but it also sucks.
Well, you like, have to have those terrible moments in order to be able to appreciate the good moments, like in order to appreciate the joy. To have joy,
cliche, you
have to
have with Ashley and Troy. Am I right, though? It's such a cliche thing we just said, but it's so true.
Yeah.
You have to go through the shit to see the shiny. I mean, like, diamond in the rough wasn't just born yesterday. Like, that's been a term for many, many years for a fucking reason. You know? The grass is greener. Also, another term that's, like, been around forever because there an actual reason for there and there is an actual reason for that being an actual term. Because, you know what? Most people are not happy with where they're at because as human beings, we don't know how to be satisfied. You know? I don't know. Just my thought. Anyway.
And then we're either anxious about the future or we're thinking too much about the past and we're not fully living in the present.
Exactly. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
I recommend, honestly, everybody read Eckhart Tolle, Power of Now.
Beautiful.
That honestly really helped me.
Hey, Ash, I just wanted to tell you I am so proud of you for the journey that you took over the years. We kind of met at a place for both of us where, you know, almost at a point where we had nothing to lose, right? And we kind of lived our lives like it was just almost like it was a joke, I think. But I think I've said this to you a couple of times where we got out, you know, especially in that group that we were involved in. I think we just did really push through and got out because we knew there was something bigger for both of us. And I'm so glad we stayed this close through all these years and that we are pretty much guaranteed going to stay this close of friends forever, I would assume, because there's no reason why we wouldn't. But I really do love you, and thank you so much for sharing your past with me, because I really did only meet you halfway through what you've shared with me today, and it was amazing to have this time with you to just sit and chat. So again, thank you again so much for spending this time with me, and I love you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Love you, bye.
Okay, love you, bye. All right, well, everybody, that was another episode of Choice Says. Thank you so much for joining me on talking to these amazing people on their journey. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and rate and review. And I will talk to you guys very soon. Okay, thanks. Bye.